leaving right after class because I feel lousy. My favorite little germ bearers managed to make both my husband and I sick. So I'm going to leave after class. So, top-down sort is what we're going to look at. Okay? Now, there is a sort verb, and we'll get to that, so that you can do a sort of an array. We started looking at arrays last Thursday, and you can do a sort of an array. But basically, these I give you because they're really just good logic exercises. And sometimes you only want to sort something simple, and people actually do use these. There are a gazillion different sorts out there. I'm illustrating the top-down and the bubble, and I've got code for the top-down, and I want you to write the code for the... I did the bubble, sorry. I can't even remember which one I did. I want you to code a top-down sort in the way I coded the bubble sort. So we'll look at my bubble as well. Okay, so here are the two that you can do. And right now we're just going to look at the theory, so look at the PowerPoint. Okay. So this is starting out, and I did this more generically. And so the subs are starting at 1 or 2. You probably would want to start the subs at 0 and 1, because in VB they start at 0 and 1. But the theory is the same. So it's just, I started them at 1 and 2, you might want to start them at 0 and 1. So to do this, I have the original numbers that I want to assort, and they're set up in an array. So I have these numbers. Now maybe these were totals that I gathered from something doing in the program, so I ended up with totals or something. But anyway, I want to put these numbers in order. Okay? So I start out, and I have sub 1 defined, sub 2 defined, and a hold area defined, and you'll see how we use the hold area. And yes, I did turn on the recorder. Good. Okay, so I start out, and using the array, and sub 1 and sub 2 are the indexes. So I'm looking at element 1 in the array and element 2 in the array. And as I said, if you wanted to start with 0, you'd be looking at the zeros in the first. But I'm looking at, I'm going to stop saying the 0 because it's going to end up confusing. But understand that you can do it starting with 0. So I'm comparing the first and the second thing in the array. And what I want to do is I'm comparing 15, which is what sub 1 is pointing to, and 36, which is what sub 2 is pointing to. 15 is less than 36, so I do nothing. So I want to sort these such that the small numbers are on the top and the biggest numbers are on the bottom. Well, the relation of 15 to 36 is fine, because 15 is less than 36, so I don't have to do anything. So the next thing points to the after numbers, and I didn't make any change. Okay, so the next slide goes down and says, okay, now I'm going to compare the third thing to the first thing. So I added 1 to sub 2, and I'm now comparing 15 to 24, and they're still such that I don't have to flip them. So now I go to the next one, and now I add 1 to sub 2, and I'm comparing the first thing to the fourth thing, 15 to 12. 12 is less, so I need to flip them. And what I'm doing is flipping them when they're not in order. And so in order to flip them, I am using this hold area. So I've got 3 steps. I take and say that the number sub 1 is pointing to
is moved to the hold. So 15 is moved up there to the hold area. The number the sub 2 is pointing to is moved to the spot where sub 1 is pointing. So sub 1 was pointing at the first spot. I'm looking now at the thing in the fourth spot. I moved the thing in the fourth spot up to the first stop. So I moved the thing in the fourth spot up to the first stop. And then I take the number from the hold area and move it back down here. Okay, now we're smart enough that we can flip 12 and 15 without writing down one of them on a piece of paper. The computer's not. Okay? Because once I have moved the 12 up to here, it's lost what used to be there. So that's why I need the hold area to hold what used to be there. So that I can then move it back and replace the 12. Now, obviously, you could do it the other way. You could have moved this one in here and done the flip the other way, but I just chose to do it this way. So I'm taking and saying I need to flip these. So I take the thing that sub 1 is pointing to and put it in the hold area. Take the thing sub 2 is pointing to and move it to the spot where sub 1 is pointing. And then I take the hold area and move it back down to where sub 2 is pointing. And you can see where they're pointing over here. Does that make sense? Okay. So now I go in and I compare 12 to 20 and they don't need to be flipped. Okay. I guess I'm taking a picture of everyone, but people at home really should look at the PowerPoint. Okay, so where was I? There. Okay, so adding 1 to sub 2 puts sub 2 outside the range of the table. Okay, so I have to keep checking as I go along because there's only 5 numbers. And when sub 2 gets up to 6, then it's outside the table. So I have to keep checking to make sure that sub 2 hasn't gone up to 6. So when it gets there, what I am going to do is add 1 to sub 2, sub 1 rather, add 1 to sub 1, getting it up to a 2, and then sub 2 is what? It's set to 3. Why do you think it got set to 3? Right. Because this one, we already went through the whole thing one pass, and we discovered this was the lowest number, and it's up there. So now we're starting on this one, and we have to compare it to the thing right below it. So we add 1 to sub 1 to get it up to 2, and then we actually take and say sub 2 plus 1, make it sub 3. So sub 3 equals sub 2 plus 1, so that we're looking at the thing right below it. Okay? Because at the end of the first pass, the smallest number is located in the first slot of the table. So I just have to compare from that point on. So sub 1 is incremented by 1, and sub 2 is reset to 1 more than sub 1. Okay, so now I'm comparing 36 to 24, and they need to flip. So I take the 36 and I put it up here. I take the 24 and move it into where the 36 would be. And I move the 36 back to where the 24 was. So I flip them. Okay. And then what am I going to do? After I finish flipping them, I'm going to add 1 to sub 2. So that we'll compare the next thing. Okay, so I added 1 to sub 2. I'm now comparing the 24 to the 15. The 15 is smaller, so I need to flip them. So I flip those. So I've now got 12, 15, 36, 24, 20.
Okay? So I then add one and I compare, and 15 and 20 don't need to be flipped. So the top two are locked into the positions in the top of the array. And I add 1 to sub 2, and when I add 1 to sub 2, it becomes 6. I'm somehow losing my place. It becomes 6, so that means it's out of range, and so I am done with pass 2. And so I add 1 to sub 1, and I make sub 2 1 bigger, so I've got 3, 4. And those are the first two numbers I'm going to look at, 36 and 24, when pass 3 starts. Okay. So pass 3 starts, and I look at the 36 and the 24, and I flip them, and I now have 24, 36. Come on, you can do it. And then when I look at the next one, it's 24 to 20, and they need to be flipped. So I flip the 24 and the 20. So I'm leaving here with the first three in place, because the next thing I'm going to see is the 6. So I've checked everything. The next thing is the 6, and that tells me the end of the pass, so pass 4 can start, and pass 4 contains 36 and 24, so it decides to flip those, obviously. In the next one, we'll see that that's got to be flipped. Okay? And so those two get flipped, and I end up with 12, 15, 20, 24, 36. And at this point, the sort is complete. Because when sub 1 is incremented, it points to the last element in the table. So if I add 1 to sub 1, I'm pointing to the last number. So if I'm pointing to the last number, I can't have anything below it that I can compare it to. So I got to be done. So when sub 1 is incremented, it points to the last element in the table. This is the trigger to tell us the sort is done. Okay. So I've gone through. And the whole time I've been doing this, I've been working with this as an array, with this element 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and the subs pointing to the element that I'm working with. So this is all being done within an array, which is why I said it's a great exercise for working with arrays. Okay. So that does it. Now, what did I write on the last one? That is the last one. Okay. So that is the top-down sort. That's sort. S-O-R-T. My R accent calls it a sot. And I did have a student at one point ask me what a sot was. You need to save the R's for use in other places. Okay, so I want you to code a top-down sot. So I want you to basically code what we just went through. I'm going to look at one other, which is the bubble sort, and then we're going to look at the code that I did for the bubble sort. Okay? And then we'll get to the mod 11, hopefully. If not, there's always next week. Okay, so there's the bubble sort. Now, a bubble sort is actually a little more sophisticated. This one has sub 1 and sub 2. It has a hold area. It has an endpoint, and the endpoint is how many numbers there are. So since there's 5 numbers, the endpoint is 5. and there is a flip count. Because the way a bubble saw works is if I go through the entire saw without flipping anything, then it knows it's done. It doesn't have to do every pass. With the top down, you have to do every single pass. But with a bubble, there's an early exit. And that is the way it works. If you go through an entire pass without moving anything, then it's done. Okay, so watch how a bubble works. So we start out with them at 1 and 2. And it didn't need to be flipped. I probably moved on too fast. Okay, comparing 5 to 6. So it's comparing the first and the second. They don't need to be flipped. Obviously, I'm doing these in ascending order. You could do it in descending just by reversing it and saying, you know, I want the biggest one on top. So 5 and 6 don't have to be flipped. So I add one to each of the subs. And this is the difference that I'm adding to each of them. So now I am looking at the second and the third. And they need to be flipped. So I'm moving that up there. I'm moving the 2 over. I'm moving the 6 down. I'm flipping them. The same way I did in the top down. I'm flipping them. And then I've now got 5, 2, 6, 3, 4. So I flip those. Okay, so then I add one to each of the subscripts. And so I'm comparing 6 and 3, and they need to be flipped. So I flip those, and I end up with 5, 2, 3, 6, 4. Then I'm comparing, right, I did that one, right? 5, 2, 3, 6, 4, yes. All right, then the next one I'm comparing the 4th and the 5th, and they need to be flipped. So I flip those, and I'm ending up with 5, 2, 3, 4, 6. So the only thing out of order is that 5. Okay, so now when I add 1, sub 1 becomes 5, and since sub 2 is greater than endpoint, so the pass is complete. You could also compare sub 1 and say, is sub 1 equal to endpoint? You could do either way. You can check for sub 1 equal to endpoint or sub 2 greater than. Okay? It doesn't matter which way you do it. And so now, at this point, the pass is complete. Notice, and I should have mentioned this, that every time I did a flip, I added one to flip count. Okay, and I should have mentioned that, but as we were going through, every time I did a flip, I added one to flip count. Okay? So the numbers are 5, 2, 3, 4, 6. So at this point, you go back and you subtract 1 from endpoint. Because what the bubble saw definitely did was lock the biggest number in at the bottom. And so you don't have to look at that anymore. The biggest number got rotated down to the bottom. That you know happened. And so endpoint is now 4. I reset flip count to 0. And I reset sub 1 and sub 2 back to 1 and 2. Okay, so then I go in and I do the comparison, and 5 and 2 need to be flipped. And so again, notice that I'm adding to the flip count. So 5 and 2 needed to be flipped, and I flip them. And so I've got 2, 5, 3, 4, 6. And I'm going to keep flipping that 5, because now 5 and 3, they need to be flipped. So I'm going to keep flipping that 5 as it kind of boils down to the bottom. And every time I do, I'm adding one to flip count. Come on. So now I'm comparing the 5 and the 4, and I'm flipping them. Okay? And again, I added one to flip count. Okay? So now I'm comparing, and endpoint signals the end of the test. Okay? And as I said here, we can test by either saying, when I added one, sub 2 became greater than endpoint, or I can test by saying sub 1 became equal to endpoint. So that's the end of the pass, and 5 and 6 are now locked. I need another pass because I've only locked the bottom 2, and I did flip counts. I did flips. So now I reset this, and endpoint now becomes a 3. Sub 1 and sub 2 go back to 1 and 2, and flip count is reset to 0. And now I go in, and I say, okay, compare 2 and 3, no need to flip. Compare 3 and 4, no need to flip. At that point, actually, let me go back one. Compared 3 and 4, and there was no need to flip. And then I came to the point that when I added 1, sub 2 became greater than endpoint, or if I draw the test, sub 1 became equal to endpoint. So I'm done with that pass. And at this point, I can also say that no flips were complete. So that means there would be one more pass, but I don't have to do it because I went through that entire thing without doing a flip. And so since I went through the entire thing without doing a flip, then I'm all set. Okay. Questions on this or the other one? Yeah.
I don't get the point of flip count. What is flip count?
It just can let you out earlier. Ordinarily, you'd have to go through one more pass because I've only locked in. I think it was the 4, 5, and 6 that I locked in. No, it was actually just the 5 and 6 I locked in, and then I started over. That's right, because I did a third pass. Ordinarily, you'd have to do one more pass. But if you've gone through an entire thing without doing a flip, it means that you can have an early exit, basically.
Okay.
And so you don't have to do all the passes. You could do this without using flip count, but then you'd have to do all the passes. But flip count is that if you've gone through and haven't had to change any order, then it's because you're bubbling down, and if you haven't had to change any order, it means they're in order. And so you can get out.
So since with this one, it's 0.
That's right.
Okay.
It stayed 0, so the whole thing is done. Otherwise, I've got to go through, and I would get out based on endpoint, because endpoint keeps subtracting 1.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there's actually comments on these down below that may help. Okay, so we're going to go and find this program now. So I'm going to go to, let's see, what I've got on my, which one, my E drive and my F drive, which one has it? VB.net. Huh. Okay. Maybe it's on my F drive, or maybe... Yes, there it is. Arrays. And I have bubble sort. So what you want to go into is the ones we downloaded from VB.net. And if you didn't download them, go to VB.net and go in the area that's called arrays, and you can download all of these. So there's the bubble sort. So if you go to VB.net, and go down to arrays. Arrays zipped is what you want to download. And if you download arrays zipped, it should be in there. And I think everybody who was here last Thursday probably did that. And I just managed. I've been having a problem closing everything I need today. Bubble sod. And I don't even have any idea what it is doing right now. Yeah, it crashed is what it did. Okay, so hopefully we'll bring it up eventually. All right, let's try this again. Thank you. And it does that one-way upgrade, which we don't worry about because these were written, as I said, back in BBNet. And since they work, I didn't want to rewrite everything. Okay, I think we finally almost going to let me run it. Are yours as slow as this one is?
Yes.
Okay, so I set this up. And I have an array that routine that lets me enter the numbers that I want. And as I said, I'm working 0 to 4 instead of 1 to 5. So I'm entering the numbers in. Okay? So the first thing I'm doing is this. Come on, you can do it. Okay, so I'm not sure what I had for numbers, but I'm going to hit enter numbers. And it says enter a number, so I'm going to put 24. And then I'm going to put 12. And then I'm going to put 4. And then I'm going to put 9 and 21. Okay, whatever. It doesn't matter what I put in. I'm just putting in a bunch of numbers, so you can put in any numbers you want. Okay? So what I did there was this routine button enter where I said deny as an integer for I equals 0 to 4, put up an input box, and then add it to the num array. And the num array is dimmed to have a maximum of 4, which means it's got 5 things, 0, 1, 2, 3, and 4. So I said, take that and put it in the array. So input box, put it in the array. If I is a 0, put it in the 0th element. If I is a 1, put it in the 1st element, etc. And then add it to the box so that I can see the numbers that I put in the box. Okay? So I'm putting them in the array, and at the same time, I'm taking the element from the array and putting it out on in the box. Okay? So this is taking the input and putting it in the array. Now the thing in the array, I'm adding as an item to the list enter box. And this is the list enter box. Okay? So now magic's going to happen. Because all I have to do is say sort, and then now, apparently I hit it twice because I've now got them twice, okay? So I don't know how I managed to do that, but apparently I hit them twice and we now have them twice. So what I've got here is the code that I set up to make this happen. Okay. So, I started out and I said, okay, dim I as an integer, set up endpoint equal to 4, because that's the maximum for the array. Dim flip count as 9, and you'll see why I did that. I just picked a number. The reason I did that, actually I can say it right now, the reason I did that is I would have ordinarily put 0 there, but down here I'm going to say do until flip count is 0. So if I put 0 there, we'd never do anything. So I had to put something there. And so I just picked 9. I could have picked 99, I could have picked 1,000, I could have picked a gazillion, whatever. I just couldn't pick 0. So I put a 9 there. And then I said dim sub 1 is an integer, dim sub 2 is an integer, and dim hold slot as a string. So I've set up all those variables. Now there's two reasons I want to get out of this. Either endpoint gets down to 0, which means I haven't got anything left to do, or flip count equals 0. So if flip count is 0, I want to get out. But if I'm subtracting from endpoint and going down and endpoint is now a 0, there's nothing to do either. So I'm out of there. So I'm saying get out when either input gets down to 0 or flip count equals 0. Then I'm saying, okay, now start out. Sub 1 equals 0, sub 2 equals 1, and flip count at 0, which is where I wanted to start. But I couldn't do it outside the loop or I was messing myself up. So I said, oh, flip count equals to 0. And then I said, do until sub 2 is greater than endpoint. Okay? So when sub 2 is greater than endpoint, I want out. And I'm going to start another pass. So what this is this loop is the sort. This loop is a pass. Okay, it's a pass going through the pass that we went through. So when sub 2 is greater than endpoint, then I'm out of the pass. And as I said, this check could have been if sub 1 equals endpoint. I could either check for sub 1 equals endpoint or sub 2 greater than endpoint. I can check for either one there. and I chose the sub 2 greater than endpoint. Whenever I have a choice, I never check for equal, because if something goes wrong, equal is equal or not equal. Whereas greater than, if something goes wrong, there's lots of things that are greater than. And so I just feel less paranoid if I check for greater than or less than. So then I said, okay, now I've got to determine whether to do the flip. So I said, if number array that is sub 1 is pointing to is greater than the number array that sub 2 is pointing to, then I'm doing a flip. And the flip is, take number array that sub 1 is pointing to, put it in the whole slot. Take number array that sub 2 is pointing to, and put it in number array where sub 1 is pointing. Take the whole slot and put it in number array where sub 2 is pointing. So I'm doing that three-step flip. And then I add one to flip count. So if I needed to do a flip, and this is a check for, do I need a flip? If I needed to do a flip, I do it. And then end if. So I only do it if I need to do it. Then either way, whether I did it or not, I add 1 to sub 1 and I add 1 to sub 2. So either way, I add 1 to each of them to get ready for the next round in the pass. Okay? And that's the end of the loop. So I loop back if sub 2 is great. If, now that I've added 1 to sub 2, if it is greater than endpoint, I'm out of here. If it's not greater than endpoint, I check to see if I need to do a flip. If I do, I do it. And then I add 1 to each of them. Okay. And eventually, when I finish a pass, I subtract 1 from endpoint. And then I go back. If that subtract put endpoint down to 0, or if flip count is equal to 0, then I don't have to do any more passes. If I do have to do more passes, I reset sub 1, sub 2, and flip count, and start doing the passes for the next, start doing the checks for the next pass. When I'm all done, I want to print them out, so I have a little for loop there that goes through the array and prints them out by taking array, modified by I, going from 0 to 4, and prints them out, so that I have the list of the ones that worked. Okay. So now I'm going to try it one more time and see if I can manage to not hit it twice. So if I start, and then I hit sort, and I didn't hit it twice, so it actually worked. And I've got 4, 7, 12, 16, 34. Okay. And this isn't a perfect time for a message box, that if something's not working, you throw in a message box and watch those numbers change and see where they're going and where they should have been going. And watch the things change. So this is basically an example of the sort. So what I want you to do is you can use this program, but I want you to go in and change the logic such that you're using the logic in the top-down sort instead of the logic in the bubble sort. But you can use the same boxes and the same everything. You're just going to have to take the logic out and, you know, set up your own logic. For example, the top-down doesn't have a flip count. Okay, so you're going to have to just do your own, do the own logic. But you're changing this. This is a bubble sort. You're going to do the logic of a top-down. But obviously the code to do the three lines to do the flip are going to stay the same. You know, a lot of this is going to be the same. You just have to go in and make the logic modifications so that it does a top-down sort instead of a bubble sort. And you can go and look at my PowerPoint to make sure that it's working right. Questions? You can even ask me one. Yes, no, maybe?
No.
Nah? Okay. Okay, so any questions on the logic that we went through on the top down of the bubble? Do you want to go back and look at anything, or are you okay with that? You can always ask me Tuesday. Okay, the next thing I'm going to look at is the Mod 11 explanation. And this is kind of a fun thing, too. But it also involves arrays. Arrays are used for everything. So on this one, what a check digit is, and Mod 11 is just one kind of a check digit. And in fact, it's an easy one compared to some of the others. What a check digit is when you have an account, the last digit of your account is usually the based on a formula for all the other digits. So if it's a 7-digit account number, the first 6 digits you run a formula on, and it comes up with the 7th digit. And that's the way that they can quickly check and make sure that it's a legitimate ID number. Is if the check digit, if they run the check on the check digit and it works, then they know it's a legitimate ID number. Okay, what that catches is things like reversals, which I'm sure I know I do and you've done. When you type them in, you type in your ID number and you reverse 2 digits. Mod 11 and other check digit things are set up to catch that kind of thing. Okay, because people do it all the time. And so then it comes back and tells you that there's a problem with your check digit. With your ID, rather. So what I've got here is an 036532. And I want to find the check digit for that number. Okay? So, the steps to calculate the Mod 11 check digit are, first, you assign weights to each digit of the ID. Okay? So, the rightmost one, you multiply by 2. Then the next one by 3, by 4, by 5, by 6, by 7. If there was another digit out there, it would be by 8, by 9, by 10. You just keep going. Okay? The result of the multiplication are added together. So I multiply 2 by 2 is 4, 3 by 3 is 9, 4 by 4 is 20, 6 by 5 is 30, and I multiply those all together, and then I add them all up. So I'm adding up 0, 18, 30, 20, 9, 4, and I'm getting 81. Okay? The product is divided by the mod 11. So it's divided by, the product is divided by 11, and the remainder is gotten, okay? And so I divide 11 into 81, and it goes 7 times, and the remainder is 4. Then I take that 4, subtract it from the 11, and I get 7, and that's the check digit. Okay, so you have to set up an array and you have to go in and do the multiplying by the thing. So you set up the array for the numbers. And then the thing that the 2 is pointing to, you multiply that one by 2, that one by 3, that one by 4, that one by 5, that by 6, that by 7. Okay? So basically, you're going to take the 7th digit, or
the last digit, the sixth digit. I multiply the sixth digit by 7. Okay? That's the sixth digit by 7. Then you're going to take and say, okay, the fifth digit. So that means I subtract 1 from the pointer, because I'm going 6, 5, 4, and I am subtract 1 from the weight. I'm sorry, you add 1. This is the first. Did I say that completely backwards? Sorry.
The first digit is the 0, right? So you take the first digit, and I think I did say it backwards, left to right. You take the first digit, and so that is the one that the 0 has a 0 index, and you multiply it times 7. Okay? And then you add 1 there and subtract 1. So the next one is, and then you add 1 and subtract 1. So you're going to keep 2 counters, basically. 1 is the index, 1 is the weight. Okay, so this is the index, this is the weight. So I'm taking the thing in the zeroth position and multiplying it by a weight of 7. And then I add 1 to the index and subtract 1 from the weight. And I multiply those together. Now, when do I do the adding? Okay, on paper, I could take and add them all up, right? But when the computer's doing it, I'm saying multiply 0 times 7, the thing in the 0, which is 0, times 7, and I get 0, and I have that as my answer. But then when I move on to the next and say multiply the 3 by the 6, that becomes the answer. So I have to add as I'm going along. So I have a total answer, and every time I calculate an answer, I have to add it to the total answer as I'm going along. I can't wait until I get to the end. Because I'm going to do this in a loop. I'm going to have a loop that goes through and adds 1 to the index and subtracts 1 from the weight, gets an answer, adds to the total. And you're going to keep doing it until the index is out of the range of where you want to be. In this case, there's 6 numbers, so the index can't go higher than 5, right? 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The index can't go higher than 5. Okay? And that can be done, as I said, in a very simple loop where you're just adding to 1, subtracting for another, and you have to decide what you're going to use as the test to get out. And usually people use the index. And the index can go, the index is going to go 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's the index. Okay, it's going up there. So once you add 1 to the index and it's greater than 5, you're done. Okay. So the index is going to go up 0 to 5, and the weight is going to go down. So inside the loop, you're adding to the index, subtracting from the weight, adding to the index, subtracting from the weight. And each time you go through, you're doing the calculation and adding to the total. So when the loop's done for this particular number, when the loop's done, you've got 81. Okay? Then you take the 81 and you divide it by 11, and it gives you an answer of 7.
So and no matter what number you end up with, you always divide by 11?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. And then you take the remainder and subtract it from 11, and you end up with 4. I mean, you end up with 7. Because the remainder was 4. When you subtract 4 from 11, you end up with 7. So this number ends up being 0, 3, 6, 5, 3, 2, 7. And that's the number that would be given to you, including the check digit. Okay, so that's the number that you'd be given and you'd be told that your ID number for whatever it is 0365327. Okay. So whatever technique they may use to come up with the first six numbers, it may be generating random numbers, it may be in sequence, it may be based on the state you live in, it may be whatever. Whatever logic that they use to come up with the sixth number, then they will do this calculation and come up with the seventh, and that will be your check digit. Now, there's one problem with this. And so this one is an easy one to do, so we do it, but it also has a problem. If the remainder from the division is 0 or 1, okay, so the remainder from the division is 0 or 1. If it is 0 or 1, then the subtraction will yield a two-digit number, right? Okay? Because 11 minus 0 is going to be 11, and 11 minus 1 is going to be 10, and that's a two-digit number. And we can't have a two-digit number because we want a seven-digit ID. So this won't work. So if the check digit is 10, then X is frequently used as the check digit. And if the check digit is 11, then 0 is used for it. And somebody just arbitrarily decided that. As I said, this one is probably not used in real life very long, more often because of that X problem. But as far as playing around, this one is a lot easier than a lot of them, so it's a good one to kind of play around. And in fact, this is one that at one point in one of my jobs I had to write the code for this one. And so I kind of remembered this particular one. Okay, so now that's the little iffy thing you have. So if the check digit has a 10, you're going to end up substituting an X. Okay? If it's 11 minus 1, you're going to substitute an X. If it's 11 minus 0, you're going to make it 0. Okay? So now you get to the part where you can verify a check digit. Okay? So the reason they started multiplying with the weight of 2 before is when we verify, we want a weight of 1 right here. So that's what we need for verifying, is the name of 1 right there. Okay? So verifying, note if the check digit is 10, then X, rather, the 10 is used in the multiplication. In other words, if it came in with an X instead of a 7, then I would pretend there was a 10 here. Okay? So if this is an X, then I use 10. I pretend there's a 10 sitting there. Okay? 0 is no problem. So, to check this, I go through, and I go through the same process that I went before with doing the multiply and subtracting one from index. I'm adding one to index and subtracting one from weight. I'm determined to say that wrong. Adding one to index and subtracting one from weight. Only this time we go all the way down to multiplying the check digit itself by 1. And we get the answer and add as we go along. And then we come back and we say, okay, take the sum, divide by 11, and the check digit, the remainder has to be 0. If the remainder is 0, then it's a valid check digit. Okay? And you can see how that worked. Okay, the remainder was 4. We gave a 7. 4 and 7 make 11. So that's why you have to do the 8 divided by 11. If it's a remainder of 0, then you're all set. And that tells you that it's a valid check digit. So when you go in and you type in your ID and it comes in, and just the other day I was buying some kind of a ticket and typed in my credit card number and it came back and said invalid credit card. So they'd clearly sent it to the company to be verified. It had done the calculation and come back and said, and that's probably what it did rather than going through a gazillion people to see if that check digit was there. I mean, if that ID was there. You know, they just do a quick validation and then they go looking if it's there. And they have an algorithm that will go in fairly fast and find those things. Okay? So all of these things are basically manipulating arrays. And that's why we looked at these, is there are three ways of manipulating arrays. And then I wanted to point out to you, the last thing I wanted to point out to you is, if I come back here and do a file, close solution. Come on, you can do it. And then a file, come on, open project solution. And I want to find the sort method. Okay, so there's the sort method. What did I just close? Solution Explorer. Okay, the simple way to do this is by writing array.sort and it will do the sort for you. Okay? However, that wouldn't give you half as much experience with arrays, so you lose. So here, if I put in the numbers, enter the number 56, 34, 22, or whatever I just put in, 18, 45, and then I say sort, I must have hit it twice again. This is a very sensitive little mouse. Okay. But it did sort them, and I've now got them in order. Okay? So on this one, I simply set up the array, and I filled the array the way I did before. But on the sort, I just came down here and said, array.sort. What do you want to sort? The number array. And it goes in and sorts it and puts it in order. And we now have the sorted numbers. I'm sure you all do. I'm sure you all do. That's what the function is. I don't know what methodology it uses behind it. But why am I torturing you? To get practice with arrays, basically. Okay, if that's the question. The reason I'm torturing you is to get practice with arrays. Because arrays are incredibly important. And you need to be able to manipulate and get at characters and get at everything else. And we're going to do more of that on Tuesday. We're going to do more manipulating. I'm actually going to stop now. Mainly because I think I've hit saturation level. And I can't. Those are the three things I wanted to torture you with. And
I just have one question.
Sure.
I sent you a bunch of things all the way up to week 6. So if you don't correct it today, will I still get full credit?
Yeah, no, it doesn't make any. The date that matters is the date that you send it to me.
Oh, okay.
It's not the date that I process it.
Oh.
That would be punishing you for me.
Right.
And that's not fair. No, whatever the date is that you send it to me is your official date.
Because I'm going to try and do one of my visual basics after work today, because I work at 3.
Okay.
But it's week 6. But I'm going to try and do it after work as much as I can.
As long as I told, as what I told the other class that asked me that, as long as it's a reasonable attempt,
okay,
then it will be in by the 23rd.
Okay.
If you
I'm not trying to do it like 2-3 weeks later. At least like by tonight or tomorrow.
And this is only through week 6, and yes. We're now on week 8. But the problem is that if people don't get caught up, they're not going to make it. So I just decided that this year I would try this.
Oh, which makes more sense. Because I came to lab on Thursday, and we were all talking about it, and Eric was like, well, this is a shocker. I've never seen this before.
I've never done it before. Yeah. But I just decided
it's a good idea,
that though. Too many people were getting themselves in trouble by not getting caught up. And so by doing this kind of mid-semester and saying, okay, you got to get caught up for the first part of the semester.
And I remember in CIS 120 where, like, I didn't do it, but I've seen other people do it where they just kind of flood you with all their work
at
the end of the year.
Oh, yes. But that's usually not high-quality work either. You know, their grade is usually reflective of the fact of when it came. And it's not just because they lost their responsible points. It's because, you know, they were whipping it out. Okay, so we are done. And I feel crummy, so that helps me too.
Eight or nine. That's cool.